Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cenacle series. And today we're blessed with this Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are so very blessed, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Really, truly. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. It's taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me bring in Mother. I'm going to ask Mother to unmute herself, and then I'm going to end the video on her, and I'm going to stop the share here, and that, whoops, didn't bring us to the right place, but now it will. Okay. Hello, Mother.
Oh. Iris?
There we go. Perfect.
Okay.
Hi, Mother. Hi, sisters.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, so Sister Pamela's in charge of IT today, huh? I see. Okay. That's what everyone's going to get their degree in IT. It's just only a matter of time. Hello, Mother.
Learn by doing.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Or like me, learn by error.
We learn that way too.
You know, Mother, still can't get out of my mind the you know, what we've been talking about, rehashing the last couple of weeks about you know, these insights that that Jesus gives us with respect to receiving this gift. I mean, we knew, I think it was from volume 16, where Jesus says, if you're in the state of grace and you have an ardent desire for this gift, he guarantees he'll give it to us. And again, not in its fullness, you know, that's where our work, of course, comes in hand. See, it's so interesting. We went through this again on Radio Maria. It's a mystical gift to be able to be introduced to the divine will. Then once we accept it and give our fiat, then it really, we're going to receive grace, and grace is commensurate to our energy. Basically, what we put in, we will get out. And Jesus talks to us about that. And he says that the most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. So we need to move God, just prove to God, in essence, you know, Mother, that we want this gift, that we earnestly desire it. And he knows what's in our heart, even if we can't articulate it properly. He knows what's in our heart. Intentions are so important. So moving God, I mean, we can do that in a myriad of different ways. And hopefully each and every one of us can do that in a slightly different way today. What'd you say, Mother?
Right. Yes. Well, to move him is, of course, you have to desire it. You have to want it, but you have to do your part. And what is your part? But to read it, to read these beautiful writings that he gave to Louisa, to believe them, to apply them. To do his will, ask him to do his will in you. You can't ask him to do his will when you're doing something that's not right. You know, he wouldn't do that. So right. to live a holy life, you know, a good life according to the teachings of the church, and then ask him to do everything in and through you. That's your part. And then, of course, you know, being grateful for all of his gifts, you know, I love you and everything, doing acts and rounds and divine will, but seeking to do his will in all things. I was just reading just today here on volume 32. It was March 12th, 1933. And Louisa says, I continued to think about the adorable fiat, and I felt myself surrounded by all created things, that each one said, I am the divine will. What you see on the outside of us are the covering, the garment that covers it. But inside of us, there is its palpitating and operating life. And oh, how glorious, honored we feel, because we form the garment for the divine will. The sun forms the garment of the light, the sky, the garment of azure, the stars, the garment of gold, the earth, the garment of flowers. In sum, all things have the honor of forming the garment for the divine will. and all in chorus, we make feast. So, you know, as we grew up, it said, well, God is everywhere. The catechism says that God is everywhere. And so we'd look around and we'd think, where is he? You know, don't see him, but he's in everything. You'd have to believe that. And the flowers are just a covering for his will. The trees are covering for his will. The animals, everyone is a covering for his will. So we're covering for his will. His will, his divine will dwells within each one of us. The Holy Trinity dwells in us. What is his will? God is his will, you know. So he's everywhere. He's within us. He's before us. He's on the side of us. He's everywhere. She said, she continues on to say, I remained marveling, amazed. And I said to myself, oh, could even I say, I am the garment of the divine will, how happy I would feel. And my great King Jesus visiting, his little daughter told me, my good daughter, King Creator, divine will means to dominate, invest, and keep our life inside of each thing created by us. To create means to extend one's own life, to hide our creating will in the same thing created by us. This is to create, to call things from nothing, to enclose the all there in order to conserve them in the integrity of beauty as we created them. Now you must know that my will is as a king, disguised in each created thing. If creatures know it under these garments, it reveals itself and abounds in giving its divine acts and its royal gifts that only this celestial emperor can give. If then it does not become known, if it is unnoticed by them, hidden, without making noise, nor show of its royal person, nor an abounding in giving its gifts that only a volition so holy can give, then creatures touch the garments, but of it and of its gifts, they do not know anything, and they receive nothing. And my fiat remains with the sorrow of not having been recognized and with the nightmare of not having given its divine gifts, because not knowing it, one lacks the capacity and the will to receive royal gifts. And so that's why it's so important that we read these volumes. We have to know it. We have to believe it. You read them over and over again. You never stop. I've read them maybe 13 times now, from 1 to 36. You start 1 if you want, go all the way to 36. Finish 36, you go right back to number 1. And every time you read it, it's like you've never read it before. You learn new things. But we have to believe what these knowledges tell us, this wisdom that our Lord gave Luis about himself. And he says, this is his divine will is greater than redemption, because his will willed redemption. His divine will is greater than everything. His divine will is greater than creation, because his will desired creation. His will willed creation. His willed us to be. Like we mentioned before, we always existed, each one of us, in the mind of God. From all eternity, we existed in the mind of God. And so we always were. God just always was. And so are we in his mind. And here we are now. We were created out of millions and billions of people who could have been, each one of us. He chose each one of us out of billions of others that could have been. That's how much he loves us. That's how great we should be, so grateful to him that he created us and grateful that he's given us this beautiful gift. Take advantage of it. Read it. Read it as much as you can every day. The more you read it, the more peace you have, the more joy you have, the more it grows in you and you understand and learn how to live in his divine will. So that's very important. He tells Luisa, I act as a king who disguising himself passes through the midst of the people. And he goes on to say, you know, if they know he's the king, they accept his gifts. The king gives them gifts. The people are so happy. Those who know he's the king, they come to him for his gifts. If they don't know he's the king and they don't recognize him, he will pass unnoticed without giving them anything. Even more, because they themselves do not ask for anything, believing him to just be one of the ordinary people, they will not receive anything. So we must expect him to give us everything. Expect that what he said in this is true. If you put your I love you and all these gifts around you, everything, you can believe that God, Jesus is putting that I love you. You're not putting it on. It would just be a human I love you if you put your I love yous on everything. You're asking him to put his I love you on everything to the Father, so that because it's a divine I love you coming from Jesus to the Father, but in your name, that I love you from you will shout out to the eternal Father for all eternity. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. So he tells Louisa that one act and one round in the divine will is so precious. He didn't want her to miss one. He said, it's so important to do as much as you can. So, you know, we try to do that. We try to remember to do that on a daily basis. He says, in the same way, does my will act when it is recognized under the garments of created things. So when you put your I love you on everything he created, you have to believe that his will is in that thing. And it's disguised under the outward appearance of that thing, whatever it may be, a flower, a tree, grass, whatever. The will of God is everywhere. So when you're putting your I love yous on these things, you have to realize the great value in them, that the will is, everything is a covering for his will. It reveals itself and it does not wait like the king to be asked for gifts and favors, but it itself says, I am here. What do you want? And it superabounds in giving gifts and celestial favors, but it goes further than the king by locating itself. It gives its own life to the creature who has known it, that which the king does not do. Now you also can say, I am will of God. Can we say that? I am will of God. You're disguised. It's disguised. It's per people see you, but you are will of God. And make of yourself the covering, the garment that hides my divine will. Not only if you recognize it in all created things, but if you recognize it in yourself, if you give it the dominion in all your acts, that if all that which the covering makes of your being, you place at its service in order to make its life grow in you. It will fill you so much that nothing will remain of you except just the garment that will serve only as covering. And you will be happier than all the created things because you will be the living covering such that you will divide together with it its joys, its happiness, and also its infinite sorrows because it wants to be the life of each creature. But ungrateful, they do not give it the full dominion. In sum, you will always live together, keeping each other perennial company, forming one single life. So God wants us to allow him to live within us. And as you do that, as you do acts and round the divine, well, you know, you shrink, you get smaller and smaller, you die to yourself. And then he has room to come and live in you. So the more you do this, the more you shrink and the bigger God gets in you. And you see everything through his eyes. You begin to love people more because you're looking at them through the eyes of Jesus. You begin to die to yourself. You begin to practice virtue because it's him within you practicing the virtue. On our own, it's hard for us to practice virtue. But if we die to ourselves and let him relive his life in us, he loves us so much, that's what he wants to do, relive his life in each one of us. And if we allow him to do that, that's where we grow in great joy. That's where we shrink. He takes over in our lives. No one will see what's happening. They'll see only you, but great things are happening when you allow Jesus to relive his life within you.
Yeah, for sure. When we put on the lens of the goggles of the divine will, everything looks different. You know, Mother, you mentioned about, you know, the urgency or really the necessity of us to read and continue to read. And, you know, it's not by design that we have to do that, but it's basically that's our nature. We have to treat the divine will as our everything, as our life. And again, the more we're going to do that is the more knowledges we have, the more, again, we go back to the Baltimore Catechism, love God, know God, serve God. We're going to know God. To know God is to love God. And the more we know, the more we love. So again, that's why we have to keep reading, because we have to get to that point where this is our everything. We can give up even holy things. Again, we've talked about that before, what that means, and really focus this. And again, that doesn't mean drop everything and do nothing, but everything needs to be sort of under that umbrella of the divine will. Secondly, Mother, you mentioned about, you know, how fortunate we are to be just born. If you really just, this is mind-boggling. I do this once in a while and I confuse myself so easily. Think about everything from our lineage all the way back. Everything had to go perfect. You know, the horse had to be there. The weather had to be okay. Our great, great, great grandmother, you know, couldn't have cold feet. Otherwise, she wouldn't have met great, great, great grandfather. I mean, everything had to work exactly the way it did for us to be here. Take one thing out of that equation and we're not here. And then that's why the sin of abortion is so bad, because again, this is all the divine gifts that God's giving to the world. And who knows who has been lost. But again, God will redeem all that later. But again, we're so blessed. And again, giving gratitude to God is really, you talk about moving him, that really moves him, because he says, ingratitude is what I suffered the most in my humanity, Mother.
Yeah, so well, you know, when you think of that, when you just mentioned abortion, like I just said, you know, we were chosen out of billions of people who could have been. So every one of these aborted babies were chosen out of billions that God chose them to be, and mankind didn't allow them to live.
Yeah, what is it? Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hi, hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I just want to add something of what you said, Mother, that you were saying that the will of God is everywhere. And I don't remember where I read it, probably in the divine will, I don't know. Anyway, he was saying that when we feel that Jesus is not present, when we feel dry and we don't know where Jesus is, I remember reading, just look at your finger and see how beautiful is made, like all the little things, all the very tiny things of your finger, and that already tell you that God is there. God created you, and even sometimes just to listen the beat of your heart, it reminds you that's God living in me, like the will of God is living in me. And then another things you mentioned, rounds in the divine will, I was reading this week a very beautiful passage, and it was saying that all the acts that we do are needed to keep the correspondence with God. And basically the acts that we do it to know better God. So we to grow this relationship with God, because the more we do acts and rounds, and the more we know the beauty of God, that we know what he's doing for all of us. And in all the acts that Jesus put a different seed, like a seed of holiness, a seed of love, different kind of seed. So basically we are the one who prepare the ground, and then Jesus will plant this seed. So the more rounds we do, and the more fertile is our ground, and so Jesus can come and plant all kind of things. And now the passage that I would like to read today, it's from volume 30, December 8, 1931. And the title is The Queen of Heaven, The Queen of Heaven, Withdrawer of the Good Acts of Creature into her Seas of Grace, The Immaculate of God and the Mutability of the Creature. So it say, my daughter, our celestial mama holds primacy over all the good acts of creatures. She as queen, as the mandate and the right to make the withdrawal of all their acts into her acts. Then I just go later in the passage, and it say, therefore, my daughter, you are never alone in your acts. You have the celestial mama together with you, who not only surrounds you, but nourishes your act with her light of her virtues to give it life. In fact, you must know that the sovereign queen, even from her immaculate conception, was the first and only creature who formed the link of connection between the creator and the creature, broken by Adam. She accepted the divine mandate to bind God and man, and she bound them with her prime acts of fidelity, of sacrifice, of heroism, of making her will die in each of her acts, not once, but always, to make that of God live again. From this sprang forth a fount of divine love that cemented God and men and all their acts. So her acts, her maternal love, her dominion of queen are cement that runs, that cements the acts of the creatures to render them inseparable from her own, unless someone ungrateful would refuse to receive the cement of the love of his mama. Therefore, you must be convinced that around your patient, there is a patient of the Queen Mama that surrounds, sustains, and nourishes yours. Around your pain, her sorrows surround you, sustaining and nourishing like a balsamic oil the hardness of your pains. In sum, in everything, she is the Queen, all door, who is unable to remain idle upon her throne of glory, but descends, runs as mother into the acts and need of her children. Therefore, thank her for her many maternal cares, and thank God who has given to all generation a mother so holy, lovable, and who loves so much as to reach the point of acting as the withdrawer of all their acts in order to cover them with her own and to compensate for what is lacking in them of beauty of, and of goodness. And when this morning I was reading this passage, I was thinking how the Virgin Mary is like all other mothers, not like the other mothers. She's even better than the other mothers because she's the mother. And usually what mothers do, they do a lot of things for us children, things that we then not even are aware of what they do. Like they wake up early in the morning to prepare breakfast. They clean the house for us. They do any kind of things. And most of the time we don't even realize what they do. And the Virgin Mary is the same. We don't even realize what she does for us. She's always close to us, next to us. She's always... she covers up for all the time for all the time that we messed up. She always put the right word between us and God. She's always the good mother that tried to help us and so we really need to thank God for giving us such a good mother. She's always there, and also to think as Jesus was saying that the Virgin Mary, she took all our acts and she put it in her. So all our acts are in the Virgin Mary hand. Everything is there. We have to go to our mother, to the Virgin Mary, because she's the one who can make us grow in the divine will and also grow in love for Jesus. She's the one. She's the key of everything. We really need to take advantage of this, since we are Catholic and we have the Virgin Mary as a mother. So we really need to take advantage of all this and remember to thank her all the time, to call her anytime we need her, and we need her all the time, any moment. So we really have to remember that she's there present and ready to help us. We just have to call her. She's there.
Yeah, bravo. Sister Gemma, could you please repeat that passage? So a couple of people are asking about that.
Yeah.
What you just read.
The volume 30th, December 8, 1931.
Okay, great. There's another passage that goes well with that also, again, to further explicate it, is volume 17, October 10th, 1925, where our Blessed Mother reveals to Louisa, quote, "Great graces were needed for those who are to live in this most holy will. I placed all of my blessings, all of my graces, and all of my sorrows at their disposal for their aid, for their defense, for their strength, for their support, and for their light. And I feel happy and honored with the greatest of honors to have these children of the divine will of the Heavenly Father as my own children," end quote. So again, to your point, she wants us, again, not invalidating her free will, just like our Lord, like she wants us to call. And she says, when you call, I'll be there. It's so beautiful. Last but not least, also, you mentioned about constancy in the beginning of what you're sharing. And that's so important, I think, for the divine will. You know, I heard a homily once that, you know, the Catholic faith is like riding a bike up a hill. Once you stop pedaling, you're going to fall. But I think I can give a silly analogy. The constancy helps us not waste time. For example, if we don't work on our PC for a certain amount of time, it goes to sleep. Yes, we can bring it back to life, but we have to reboot it. We have to put in our password. That's a waste of time. Remember, the souls in purgatory shouted out, you know, that if they had to do it all over again, their regret would be not making better use of the time. So by keeping it active, the computer, the PC, we keep it on. And that's the same thing with the divine will. Mother said about the axe and rounds. You are my mom. Mother talks about, you know, the axe and rounds. Every time we do that, again, we're gaining momentum. We're instilling that constancy. And God's and our Blessed Mother, like she just explained to us, is going to make it easy for us. Hello, Sister Pamela. You're going to make it easy for us.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay. So today, actually, I was going to talk about, I had in my mind like what I wanted to talk about today, but the Holy Spirit decided like, no, this is what I want you to talk about. So I want to share and I want to talk about what is divine life, like what's the true meaning of it and how Jesus wants us to be perfect as how his Father is perfect. So what I understand of life is like, you know, the constant movement of action, like the action is in constant motion. And if it ends, it's just done. Like you pass to another movement, like the heartbeat. If there's heartbeat, that like the heart, if there's heartbeat, you know that a person is alive. But if the heartbeat stops, then it means that the person died. And this happens with our actions as well. Like our human actions have a beginning and an end, but those of the Father are eternal, infinite. So there's no beginning and no end. So they are never interrupted. And I want to read just a little bit of sentence from volume 14, March 16, 1922. And a little bit of background of this is about how Luisa, she's complaining that she feels that by doing ordinary acts, she's not doing anything. And Jesus tells her that she's doing a lot of things and wonderful things because it is he who is within herself. And it says, Jesus is telling Luisa, external actions do not satisfy me, nor do they please me if they do not start from an interior whose life I form. And I was thinking, how come our external actions are not enough for God? And well, the divine life, since it means that it's not interrupted and it's always constantly like in one single act. Like when he created everything perfectly in a single act in his fiat lux, we humans have subsequent acts because they are imperfect and sometimes, if not always, need. And sometimes, if not always, they need to be corrected or redone. And Jesus wants our acts to be eternal, divine, and continuous. But how can we do this? And Jesus tells Luisa again, by making all your acts run in the current of my will, and that current of my will running in your acts. Because we are incapable of maintaining our acts in a continuous mode because like we need to do different things. Like you're not gonna be 24 hours sweeping or mopping, like, cause you gotta go to bed, you gotta sleep, eat and walk. So we need to give God to God. And this is the only way we can do that, by uniting ourselves to him. And when we do our prevenient act, you're not only asking him like to come in that precise moment of, oh, Jesus, come and love with me just that moment that I feel like loving a person, or just come and see through my eyes whenever I'm not sleeping, but constantly repeating that act, even though if we are not like awake or blinking. And the more acts you do, the more divine lives are created within us. And these divine lives obtain the divine effects to spread them out to our creation, redemption, and sanctification. And we become like Our Lady and Jesus and Luisa. Like from then came out the life and the preservation of all creatures. That's why the sun preserves its light and its heat. The plants preserve their development of life and so on. And the same with people, their salvation and perfect and perfection are preserved in the eternal act of God. But it is only a matter of this position from them to obtain these wonderful effects. And God doesn't want us only to desire salvation, like to be perfect and to do a continuous life of him, like his life. And I want to quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 521. It says, Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived, and he lives it in us. By his incarnation, he, the Son of God, has in a certain way united himself, which is man. So basically, when I read this from the Catechism, it took me to divine will, because we're basically doing that. Like, we're uniting ourselves and we are living Jesus's life in us. So it's just wonderful. And also something else is that God doesn't want virtuous people who one day are like obedient and the other day they're not obedient. They just like no constant. He wants perfection, same immutability like him. And if virtue takes human life, it will only lead you to human sanctity. But if the virtue takes life from the divine life, it will lead you to perfection. And we shouldn't just desire salvation, but perfection. And you no longer obtain only the virtue, but the one who is the virtue, which is God. And yeah, that's basically what the Holy Spirit inspired me to talk about today. And let us always, always unite ourselves to God so that we can give God to God. And the most important thing, believe that all this is happening, even if you can't see it, like Luisa, that she couldn't see anything, but Jesus was doing wonderful things within herself. So divine will is about believing, but not about seeing. So just keep persevering on reading the volumes of how Mother always says, and doing acts and rounds and putting it on the eternal fiat so that it keeps happening and we can keep doing life, divine life.
Brother, Sister Pamela, you mentioned about the giving God, and we know that it's only in and through the divine will that we can give to God what is deserving to God on the level of God, due to God. All of that can only happen in the divine will. It's God elevating us and not us picking up our bootstraps ourselves, because we cannot do that. Mother? I think you're muted, Mother.
Like in volume 32, okay. Just to go on what Pamela was just talking about, it's and as in creation or in redemption, there are no past acts, but all acts in act and present. For the Supreme Being, the past and future do not exist, such that your Jesus always remains in act of being conceived, of being born, of crying, of suffering, and of dying, and of rising again. We live in time. So, like Pamela was just talking about, we live in time, but when we're asking Jesus to do these acts within us, they're outside of time. They're divine acts because he's doing them, which have no beginning, no end. They're present, always present to the Father. All these acts of mine in continuous act without ever ceasing besiege every creature. They drown her with love. And for outlet of my ardent love, I keep repeating, do you see? Only for you do I descend from heaven and am conceived and born. And you come to be conceived together with me in order to be reborn together with me to the new life that your Jesus brings you. Look at me, I cry to you, I suffer for you. Have pity on my tears and on my pains. Let us suffer together so that you repeat what I did and model your life on mine in order for me to be able to say to you, what is mine is yours. You are the repeater of my life. And so if I die, I call her to die together with me, but not in order to make her die, but to rise again with the same life of he who loves her so much. So everything, he wants to do everything with us. When God creates, we're creating with him. He shares everything with us. He wants us, as we do these acts in divine will, we're creating with God at that moment. He says, therefore, my life is continually repeated. A past or future love would not satisfy me, nor would it be love and redemption of a God. It is the present act that has the virtue of wounding, of conquering, of disposing one to give her life for love of the one who is placing it in act for her. But however, there is the great difference on the part of creatures. The one who listens to me and takes everything that we have done, as much as in the creation as in the redemption, in the act of doing it, forms her life together with us. She feels our divine acts flow in her acts. Everything speaks to her of God. So, you know, as we do these acts in divine will, asking Jesus, well, now we don't do acts in divine will. He does them in us. But as we continue to do that, like Pamela was just expressing, that it touches every soul throughout the world as much as they're open to that, to the grace. And that's how we can change the world. We don't have to go anywhere. You can just sit home and try to live in divine will, acts around the divine will, and you're changing the whole world. You don't have to go out and preach or do anything. You're just, you know, as the more you do that, and the more you believe this, he says, the faith that you have in these knowledges, when you do these acts around, that makes it more powerful. It makes it a greater a thing. And so our faith is so important in this, to really believe what it says, take it for its word. It is the word of God. And he is doing these things within us, to have faith in that. And it gives you great joy. If you really believe that, it gives you great joy and peace. He says, on the other hand, the one who looks at them as past things, it is only the memory that she has. And the memory has not formed either divine life or the heroism of sanctity. Therefore, take things as they really are, always in act, in order to always love you and to always love me. So as you meditate, even when you're meditating on the mysteries of the rosary, everything is present. Everything is in the present moment. Jesus is being born now. He's dying now. Whatever mystery you're on, you can place yourself there in reality and do acts and rounds. Even in the rosary, you can be doing that. Make the rosary more powerful that way. Divine will rosary.
You know, Mother, the acts and rounds, just two passages actually that really explain how powerful the acts are and rounds are, and what happens if those souls who don't do it. First, on the positive, and this is really volume 36, it's the summation by Jesus, basically, November 13th, 1938, quote, "It behooves you to know that the acts done in our will are inseparable from us. They are our greatest glory, and all creatures of heaven see them, our divine lives multiplied for as many times as they were accomplished in our will," end quote. our greatest glory. Again, God doesn't mince words. But then how about those who reject the divine will? How about those who do not accept these graces and utilize these graces? Jesus explains that also. It's fiat always. It's volume 12, May 22nd, 1919. Quote, "What some souls do not offer me, I take from others, in whom I redouble the graces that others reject from me. And from these, I receive double love and double glory to others according to their dispositions. I reach the point of giving the graces I would otherwise give to 10 to others, those who I would give to 100 yet to others, those who I would give 1,000. Sometimes I give to some the graces that I would give to entire cities," end quote. So again, just knowing where that's going. So again, if we face rejection, fiat, because those graces unused are going to be given to someone who's going to use them. So again, God is very prudent. He's a recycler. He's never going to waste the grace that's going to be used by someone. It's just so beautiful. It's got everything covered. This is done. I mean, we know the end of this. We just have to trod through and prod through the battles. Mother, sisters?
Oh, hello, everybody.
Oh, hello, sister.
Yes. So much has been shared today. I don't even know where to begin. You know, it's so much rich. This divine will is so much rich. And I'm in the mode of moving God. And I was listening to everybody sharing today. I'm like,
me too.
It's the way to move God. You know, there's nothing really we can do. It's not within our human capacity to do this. It's all God doing. And a lot of this sharing that we do, I mean, you see, God is so good. He gave us so many ways to get to him, to move him. It's not just one way, but he gave us so many ways that you mentioned earlier about, you know, being in a state of grace and Sister Pamela, everybody, it's just so beautiful. But another way also to lead us to God, Sister Gemma mentioned about our Blessed Mother. One way to really bring us to God is our Blessed Mother through her, because there's nothing that our Blessed Mother asks God that will not be given to her, because she has always been giving her human will
as a sacrifice to God. She passed the test. And so because of that, that she never gave off of her human will to always do the divine will, that makes her really, God cannot turn her down, everything that she asked. So I begin my meditation. I don't know if I have really enough time here, but I'll try as best I can. And if whatever I couldn't do, I'll just, maybe if I have time to return later. But I would like to share appendix meditation one on Our Lady. And Our Lady is basically teaching us how to love, because we move God through love. And so Our Lady says, as I became mother of Jesus and your mother, my seas of love redoubled. And unable to contain them all, I felt the need to pour them out and to be the first bearer of Jesus to the creatures, even at the cost of great sacrifices. But what I am saying, sacrifices, when one really loves, sacrifices and pains are refreshments. They are reliefs and outpourings of love one possesses. Oh, my child, if you do not feel the good of sacrifice, if you do not feel how it brings the most intimate joys, it is a sign that divine love does not fill all your soul, and therefore that the divine will does not reign as queen in you. It alone gives such strength to the soul as to render her invincible and capable of bearing any pain. So imagine, you know, mother, I have heard this many times, that parents go to work and they are so tired, and they come home and see their daughter or their baby, and all the fatigue goes away. So because it is the love that sacrifices comes with love. Love cannot be truly love unless it is together with sacrifices and pains. I also remember Mother Teresa, she says, love until it hurts, because unless it hurts, then it's not really loving enough. And I continue here. She says, she said, place your hand upon your heart and observe how many voids of love there are in it. Reflect that secret self-esteem. You're being disturbed by every slightest adversity. Those little attachments you feel to things and to people, and the tiredness and good that bother caused by that which you don't like, are equivalent to as many voids of love within your heart. Voids which, like little fevers, deprive you of the strength and of the desire to be filled with the divine will. Oh, how you too will feel the refreshing and concurring virtue of your sacrifices if you fill these voids with love. You see, what our Blessed Mother gave us example here, you know, secret self-esteem, being disturbed by every slightest adversity. This is talking about self-love. We were taking God's love for God out of the equation. It's basically our selfishness, our human will, which is grounded on selfishness, our pride, arrogance. We want to do our own will. And so these are the voids that we keep in our heart, because apart from God, really, it is empty. It's not lasting. It may give you a temporary joy or relief, but it's not lasting. So our Blessed Mother wants us to remove any of that and remove our human will and replace it with the divine will. And replace that with the love of God, because loving God is what really moves him. And I continue here. She said, so I departed from Nazareth, accompanied by Saint Joseph, facing a long journey and crossing mountains to visit Elizabeth in Judea, who in her advanced age had miraculously become a mother. I went to her not to make a simple visit, but because I burned with a desire to bring her Jesus. The fullness of grace, love, and light, which I felt in me, pushed me to bring, to multiply, to increase 100-fold the little life of my son in creatures. So she basically, her intentions to visit Elizabeth was just not a simple visit, but to share with Saint Elizabeth her joy, her love, her grace, because she is moved to, with this love, to share Jesus to Elizabeth. And then she continues here, yes, my child, the love of mother, which I had for all men and for you in particular, was so great that I felt the extreme need to give my dear Jesus to everyone, that all might possess him and love him. The right of mother given to me by the fiat enriched me with such power as to multiply Jesus as many times as they are creatures who want to receive him. This was the greatest miracle I could perform, to have Jesus ready to give to whomever desire him. How happy I feel. How I wish that you too, my child, in approaching and visiting people, would always be the bearer of Jesus, capable of making him known and yearning to make him loved. I would like to stop here for a little bit because we are all called to be evangelizers, and not only evangelizers in words, but really in our actions. And our actions are best acted when we allow God to act in us, not our human action, but fusing our action with the actions of the divine will of God himself. And that, and there were other passages in the volume that says, whenever we do this kind of acts, allowing divine will to act in us, it enlightens our environment. It changes everything without even saying a word. It just illuminates everybody. It converts hearts because we are no longer practicing human virtue, but it is God himself, the wisdom, virtue, and all of that it is now capable of changing everything surrounding. And she said, after days of travel, we finally arrived in Judea. I hastened to the house of Elizabeth. She came toward me in feast. As the greeting to give her, marvelous phenomena occurred. My little Jesus exalted in my womb, and fixing little John in the womb of his mother with the ray of his divinity, he sanctified him, gave him the use of reason to let him know that he was the Son of God. So in this, even when Jesus, when John even lived in her womb, it wasn't just the voice of the Blessed Mother, but it was not the Blessed Mother. It was Jesus in her that did it. So again, that was just one example. So, and then here at the last paragraph, my child, I felt devoured with a desire to pour out the flames of love that consumed me and to reveal my secret to Elizabeth, who also longed for the Messiah to come upon earth. A secret is a need of the heart, which is revealed irresistibly to people who are capable of understanding each other. So there you go. You know, the secret of the heart. And I don't have time, so I'll stop right here. But there's a lot other things that was that in addition to that, but maybe later on.
Well, what we can do, sister, we can go right back to you, but we just need to take a short break here just for the aesthetics of recording. So you're listening to the School of Mary. This is with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy. Be right back.